Welcome to the Do Your Good podcast series. In this podcast series, you'll hear from me, Sybil, and other experts in the field to help you make your money matter and make a huge difference in the world. I come to you with over two decades of experience as a person who's helped donors give away over $45 million in donations, both large and small. This podcast series is meant to give you the tools you need to be effective in the world and fund nonprofits and issues that you care about with meaning and purpose, and to make a true, deep difference in the world. Hi, everyone. I'm really psyched to replay this interview that I had with Bruce Laurie. So many of you loved this interview, and that's why I want to replay it. Bruce and I, he's a longtime friend and colleague, and the foundation that he runs announced a spend down strategy that's really interesting. And so I thought you'd all appreciate listening to my conversations with Bruce about the reason that his foundation and the trustees decided to spend down and the issues that they're deciding to focus on. So have a great listen. And as you know, I'm playing some reruns because I'm working hard on a new podcast series I'm going to release in the fall. And I'm not telling you what it is yet, but I will announce it soon. Bruce, thank you for being on my podcast. It's so great to talk to you. And it's great to have an excuse to talk to you because, you know, we used to see each other all the time at the fund, these funder collaborative meetings where we talked about strategy and everything. But with COVID, we just haven't been able to see each other recently. So thanks for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Sybil. It's just, a thrill to be able to see you. I wish it was in person, and I wish we were sitting looking out over a beautiful mountain setting, sipping a coffee while chatting instead of a Zoom call. But here we go.
This'll do, I guess. But the reason I wanted to reach out to you, Bruce, is I am focusing on a key question for philanthropy. And that is, a lot of folks are talking about spending down these days. They're talking about, instead of having a foundation in perpetuity, giving all of their wealth away to well-deserving causes in their lifetime. And Bruce, you work for the Ivy Foundation, and you're a longtime philanthropist, as well as activist, and just in general, great guy, doing a lot of important things to help people and community. And I just thought it would be great. I saw your announcement and I'm like, Bruce, can we talk about why the Ivy Foundation, which is based in Canada, has decided to spend down and what are the pros and cons to it? I thought you'd have some great advice for us on that. Before we go there, though, Bruce, talk to me a little bit about who you are and what got you into this line of work and what do you care about?
Yeah, thanks, Sybil. Looking forward to chatting about all of those things. I think to start off with, I've basically worked on environmental stuff all my life, all my career. I did a master's degree many, many, many years ago in environmental studies. And I guess at the time, it just seemed like an obvious thing to do. Looking back, I guess it's maybe was less obvious. Sadly, we haven't made as much progress as we need to make on most environmental issues. So what keeps me going every day is knowing we've got a lot of work to do. And, it is a bit of a slog. At the same time, I think things would be much worse in the world if it weren't for all the great NGOs and the great foundations supporting work in communities and all the great people working on those issues. So, I've worked on conservation issues and toxic pollution issues and a lot of work on energy and climate change. And so I've seen the whole range of environmental work and been involved in the boards of lots of NGOs in Canada and foundations and foundation groups in Canada and the US and abroad. So I guess for me, it's just fun now to combine the kind of the, tail end of my career with the Ivy Foundation deciding to spend down with the idea that we're going to spend it all basically on the climate crisis, spend it down reasonably quickly in 5 years. So a lot of stuff kind of is coming together in a way that, just makes sense, sense for the foundation. And I'm super excited about it. And yeah, happy to talk more specifically about maybe some of the thoughts at the foundation behind our decision.
Yeah, Bruce, tell me first, it sounds like you have 5 years, and what made you decide to shift from funding and doing grants year by year, and instead to have this initiative, and I assume was a conversation with the trustees and with the whole foundation. Talk to us and my listeners about your thought process there.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, well, I guess what's interesting, just to step back, is we're the Ivy Foundation, I think, is the sixth oldest foundation in Canada. So we're just coming up on our 75th anniversary.
And now for an ad, but don't go away because Bruce has a lot more to say.
Hello, everyone. I want to let you know that I am putting forward a pretty exciting new podcast season, which is going to focus on the journey I took with one of my clients to think through effective funding strategies to reduce firearm-related suicide in rural and remote communities, specifically looking at Oregon as an example. So tune into my podcast series September 30th through October 21st. Every Monday, I'll have a new special episode specifically discussing this issue. Thanks a lot.
You know, your listeners may or may not know, philanthropy kind of started a little later in Canada than it did in the U.S., and there's not nearly as much wealth in Canada as there is in the U.S., so we're sort of a small foundation by American standards. We have about, you know, roughly $100 million endowment right now, a little smaller than it was a year ago. But the fact that we're, you know, we're identified with, you know, one of the most prominent business schools in Canada, the Ivy School of Business. We're known, you know, as a kind of a historic foundation that's been around from the very beginning, in the early days, you know, funding hospitals and universities, kind of traditional old school philanthropy. So I think the decision for us to spend down caught some people by surprise, because we're seen as kind of a very mainstream part of Canadian philanthropy. But when you sort of look into it, and so we're basically our board of directors, there's five of us, me and four Ivy family members, and this really was very much came out of the family and their strong belief that creating a foundation in perpetuity wasn't necessarily, you know, the thing that makes most sense today. And also just the circumstances of the family. It's been very much a family project, and the family's been working together, and I've been working with them for 20 years now. And so I think for all of us, it's been like a collective project, and we've worked on it for 20 years. And it just feels like for a bunch of reasons that this is the right time to say, okay, let's just, you know, kind of go big and support the issue that we think is the most important environmental issue right now facing the globe. And I guess recognizing as well that we were one of the first and largest environmental funders in Canada. So we started making environmental grants 50 years ago at the Ivy Foundation. And for the last almost 40 years, have been predominantly putting all our money into environmental causes. So, you know, the family and my role, like, we're all just really committed to the environment. And it just really felt like, okay, well, if this is the biggest issue, and we've really, you know, we're looking at kind of 2030 facing us in terms of climate targets that we need to get to. We're not nearly on track in this country. So let's see what we can do in the next 5 years and be really focused. And let me go, sorry, I'll add one more thing. Sybil, we're over the last, say, 10 years, we've developed this program at the Ivy Foundation that has really been focused on how do we build the capacity in Canada to deliver on our climate and energy transition. So essentially, you know, how do we get to net zero? And so part of the decision was a confidence in the people that we're supporting right now, like really believing that we've got some of the smartest people right now in the country focused on all different aspects of the climate challenge here. So everything from, you know, understanding, you know, maybe the effects of peatlands to supporting Indigenous communities in their transition to, you know, energy system modeling, electric vehicles, building retrofits. Like, we're really deep in understanding, like, technically, how do we need to make those changes? And then what are all of the social and political elements that we need to pull together? So we just think we've got a really amazing group of people that we can support for the next 5 years.
Yeah. So you're seeing that there's this big transition. I'm seeing it too. Big transition that's about to happen in our lifetime in the next 5 years or so. And you're putting your money into that. You're seeing this big opportunity to really catalyze this energy and move forward. You did say there were some reasons that the family decided to shift, and it's a pretty significant shift because you are such a large foundation in Canada and such a well-established one. What are some other reasons? I mean, it looks like there's an issue reason, right? You see that you can invest a lot in climate change and really make a difference now. And it sounds like that's clear. Were there any other internal considerations that you all and the foundation sort of spurred you into wanting to think through doing a spend down? Or was it really about only the issue, which is also totally fine, of course. But I think some families will want to know that, because sometimes there are those internal dynamics and not only the external ones.
Yeah. I think it's a combination. I think, as I said, the main internal dynamic would be the family really feeling like this was a project that they all worked on together, and that project is now coming to a close. And just in terms of the history of the Ivy family philanthropy, there have been a number of Ivy, related foundations, and each one has been set up around a particular family, and those families then tend to, rather than one big foundation that grows and family members, through the generations all become sort of coalesced around one big foundation, the Ivy family has tended to create separate foundations and then have those foundations split off into families. So they're all very unique, sort of family-based foundations. And so from my sense of it is that this is part of it. And sort of this family unit has decided that, it's time for this foundation to wind down. Yeah. And then just those other factors of just, feeling strongly about the issue, feeling strong about the work that we're doing, and the urgency of the issue. It all just sort of fit together and made sense. And the family spent several years really thinking this through. Like, they did a lot of deep thinking around this, and, it's a big personal decision for them, for sure.
Well, this is all super helpful. So it sounds like internally the family was saying, okay, we as a family unit, this is our family project, and we want to make a mark through our family project and not have it continue after that. And then also they looked around and there's an issue that really could benefit from a significant infusion of funds in these next 5 years. I really think that's helpful, and it might help some folks too in terms of if they're thinking about whether to do a spend down or not. And to think about the issue, they care about. Right. Sorry, Bruce, you go.
Yeah. No, and just dawned on me too. I guess the other piece of it is, just the increasing awareness that it probably isn't good public policy for foundations to exist in perpetuity, right? Like, so there's a huge tax benefit that goes to families when they create a foundation. And so part of the question is, do you sort of extend that tax benefit and dribble out the benefits in perpetuity, or do you take that tax benefit, and this is, after having been around for 75 years, but do you then sort of take it and recognize, and especially how we understand it now, and really make that benefit much more, directly available to the generation now that needs it most. And so I think another slice of all of the things that sort of made sense was just this increasing recognition that there is an issue around, who is benefiting from the creation of these foundations, and is it like how much of that is really benefiting the generation today that probably needs it most to, succeed in the future.
Thanks for that addition, Bruce. Okay, so now let's talk about the grant making. So now you have a lot more money than you've had before. And the reason I say I'm guessing is because sometimes when there's a spend down, you actually don't have more money, but you're giving away sort of the same amount. It just depends on how things are going. I would think there's a lot more money that you have to give in a five-year period. Let's talk about the logistics of that and how you are now approaching longtime grantees and or reaching out to new grantees. So how are you just actualizing that larger amount of money to make sure that it is reaching your goals, and not your goals, but the community's goals around this climate issue that you're focused on and the family's focused on?
Yeah, we definitely have more money than we've ever had before, probably you know, about five times our annual granting budget. So it's, you know, $100 million divided by five. It's, you know, it's sort of four, five. So I guess the most important part of all of this is, you know, it's very much stay the course, double down, support the stuff that we think is working really well and support it more. It's not like, it's like, oh, wow, we have all this money. What'll we do? Or what are all these new things we can work on? If anything, we're becoming even more focused with more money on the things that we think need to get us. Like quite frankly, we're very deep in understanding what it will take for Canada to meet its 2030 climate targets. Like, it's a very rigorous kind of window. And if you think about getting to 2030, that's only, well, now 7 years away. You actually have to start getting most of that stuff. I mean, some of it's thankfully in play right now, but you really want to start getting as much done as possible, as quickly as possible, because, you know, it takes a while for these things to kick in terms of a policy perspective. So I guess one useful point to make is that we primarily focus on supporting public policy. And so our, I guess, theory of change, if you will, is that we need a large constituency of Canadians that are supporting, you know, the most advanced public policy efforts all across the board, everything from, you know, decarbonizing buildings, the electricity grid, transportation, and communities. And as I said at the outset, we've helped support a number of organizations that are kind of at the forefront of that in Canada. So the way we're structuring the overall funding is we'll most likely be identifying, and if you read our, you know, our press materials, you'll see that we identify a number of our, you know, what we call kind of our core partners. So we're going to make sure that our core partners are well supported for the next 5 years and figure out, you know, and some of them, you know, frankly, the question will be, you know, how much money can they absorb? For some of them, you know, an interesting conversation we're having internally now is like, what is the arc of funding for different organizations look like? Some organizations we think might be able to ramp up over 5 years and really take off. Some organizations we think, you know, maybe they'll, you know, have a steady state kind of funding for 5 years, and some maybe they'll, you know, go up and go down. So we're having those conversations directly with all of our grantees, really to understand, you know, where what they're comfortable with and what we're comfortable with. It does open up some, I would say, some areas where we probably might be get a little riskier in terms of a few things that we would do that we wouldn't do if we didn't have the resources. And so there might be some new, like, national campaign work that we're excited about. And we're very much a foundation that's all about collaboration and convening. So most of our work is projects that are kind of designed with a group of grantees and us working together, sometimes over a year or two, just to develop an initiative. And so we've had a couple of those in the works that I think, you know, without revealing all the details, I think will be exciting on the landscape of Canada. That'll be you know,
can't wait campaigns. To hear about that. Can't wait to hear about that when it's public, Bruce. That'll be great.
And now for an ad, but don't go away. Bruce still has more to say.
Hello, everyone. I'm so glad that you're enjoying my podcast. In my podcast, I hope to talk to you, the wonderful donors and philanthropists that I work with, to help you think through the most effective way to make your money matter. I also, in my podcast series and through all my trainings, want to help and support the nonprofits that are out there trying to raise money and hone their pitch. Because I'm somebody that works with donors, I get pitched all the time by amazing nonprofit leaders, so I know what it takes to raise money effectively. Please check out everything I have to offer at www.doyourgood.com. I have a whole host of course materials and lessons, videos, downloadable documents, a blog that I keep updated. All of it is 100% free for you to see and review and learn from. Please check it out. Again, www.doyourgood.com. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. And so the big idea is you've got, you know, like, you know, or anyone that's, you know, been deep on these issues, We're hoping to have some hard-hitting campaign work, some public support work, some business alliance work, and some, direct public policy work. And so it's just really trying to make sure that all of those pieces come together. And in fact, next week we're having meetings in Ottawa with 25 or 30 of our kind of main partners, basically to help plan out what 5 years might look like. So all of our decision-making is done basically in collaboration with our grantees, and often with all of the grantees in the room together, basically debating priorities and issues. So I think it's super fun. I really love it.
Thanks for saying that. I think that's important. I just want to reiterate a couple things you said. One thing is, you said, even though you're giving away more in this time period, you're still super focused. So you're not trying to invent new things, run after random objects.
No.
But you are allowing yourself to be a little risky in some stuff. So that's interesting as well. And Bruce, when we were talking offline, you also were talking about how the foundation you're working with, it also has funds and supports think tanks and some other things that support the work you're doing. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that plays into the spend down model as well?
Yeah, certainly. I guess one of our assessments was that Canada didn't have the capabilities that we didn't really look broadly around the world, but we certainly, have a lot of connections in the US and the UK. And we really didn't think that Canada had comparable sort of capacity in the, think tank / solid, rigorous analytical side that a lot of, the big US and UK NGOs have. So we set out to try to build some new capacity to do that. Examples are things like setting up the Institute for Sustainable Finance, which is a collaboration across some business schools. We helped create something called the Canadian Institute, the Canadian Climate Institute, which is now a federally funded, research body doing, policy analysis on climate change. We helped set up something called the Transition Accelerator, which brings together businesses and academics and NGOs to really look at very specific. It's going to sound overly analytical. At the end of the day, it's really to move public policy. But how do you actually, get the right people in the room to solve these problems? So in a lot of ways, we've established these organizations. We work with them super closely. And then we try to get those organizations to be the capacity for the larger community. And in some cases, frankly, the capacity for governments. So these organizations are actually helping advise government on implementing energy and climate policy. So we've just decided that was a critical missing piece. We put a lot of resources into it, and we think that there's a real opportunity to kind of accelerate that going forward.
That's great. So you saw a gap, you wanted to fill it, you're filling it right now. So before we go, Bruce, thanks for all your words of wisdom and your advice. Before we go, I would really love to hear, now that you've made the announcement and everything, is there anything unexpected? Anything that you didn't anticipate now that you've shifted over?
Well, we certainly didn't anticipate the extent of the response. it ended up being quite a big media story in Canada. And even before we, sent notices around, colleagues, in the US were sending me notes saying, wow, so exciting. Like, well, how did you even hear about it? Like, it was sort of amazing to me that there was just so much interest in it. And for kind of all of the reasons we talked about, like, different people have different pieces of it that they find interesting. I guess not surprisingly, a lot of people who think that they're the next great, partner organization for the Ivy Foundation. So a lot of that. And then the other one, which actually did surprise me, and I don't want to sound, too arrogant here, but a lot of people said, well, what are we going to do at the end of 5 years when the Ivy Foundation and you're not around, because we've played a known leadership role in the sector for so many years. So, and that didn't really dawn on me as a thing. So we're actually giving some thought to, are there things that we can be doing to support? And, I've had some foundation colleagues come to me sort of saying, oh, well, maybe you can, kind of be a coach to some of us over the next 5 years as, we're building our programming and developing. So, we're conscious of that. And I think there's going to be a lot of, great opportunities to continue to partner. I mean, we work very closely with a number of Canadian foundations who are, completely you know, aligned in our thinking and granting. So yeah, I think it's just going to be a super fun time, and I'm pretty excited about it.
That's great, Bruce. Well, thank you for being on my podcast to talk about this. It's such an important topic, and it's just great to catch up with you in general. So have a great rest of your day, Bruce.
Yeah, thank you, Sybil. Always a pleasure, and can't wait to see you in person.
I know. I can't wait too.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I enjoyed making it for you. So if you want to find out more about what I have to offer, please check out www.doyourgood.com and learn more ways to make your money matter. Until next time, do your good and be well.